Welcome to Rambam on the line, a project of Sichas in English. Today's chapter from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah is the 17th chapter of Hilchas Eidus, the Laws of Testimony. This perek contains 7 halachas and deals with the subject of false testimony, as well as the restrictions about when exactly a witness is allowed to testify regarding something. Perek Shiva, also the 17th chapter, Halacha Aleph. Someone that had many people who were great in knowledge and great in their fear of God, who testified before him, and they say that they saw a certain person do a certain sin, or they saw him borrow money from another. Even though he might believe that this happened, exactly as if he himself saw it, since so many people have told him it happened, and all these people are tremendously wise and tremendously God-fearing, nevertheless, although he has such a clear belief, he still is not allowed to testify until he actually sees the event happen himself, or unless the borrower himself admits owing the money. And he says, you should be a witness that such and such a person lent me 100. And in that case, even though he might not have seen the transaction, since there was somebody admitted owing the money and made him specifically a witness for this, then he is allowed to testify regarding that as well. From where do we know that one must somehow see the action and not only know that it took place in them, as it says in Vayikra, that he was a witness, either he saw it or he knows it. If he saw money being passed over from hand to hand, he is allowed to testify that he saw that, even though he might not know why it was being given. Perhaps money was being lent, perhaps money was being paid back. He doesn't know the relationship between the two people handling the money. Nevertheless, it says, either he saw, in this case he saw, although he wasn't yoda, he didn't know what was really going on. And so too, conversely, as in the case we mentioned of Hegdah, even though he knows that the money is owed, and how only as a result of an absolute confession on the part, an admission on the part of the borrower, that he says, you be my witness, and I am declaring before you that I owe this money. In this case, it's yoda, and it's not the raw. He might know that this happened, but he didn't see it himself. Therefore, either riyah or yediyah is sufficient. The only type of testimony which is sufficient, either with seeing it alone or knowing it alone, are monetary cases, in cases involving capital punishment. The same witness who knows must be the same witness that saw it happen. And anyone that testifies based on someone else's knowledge, this is known as aid mipi aid, that he is testifying what somebody else saw, harizeh aid sheker, he is considered to be a false witness, for oivirbalei sase, and he is transgressing one of the 365 prohibitions of the Torah. Shenema, as it says in Shmeis, perekhof, potek tazayin, leisan nebereyacha aid sheker, do not bear false witness against one's neighbor. And this is called false witness since he did not really see it happen, he is not allowed to testify. And therefore, since even in monetary cases, one is not allowed to testify, judges give a very strict warning even to witnesses regarding financial matters. The case of Ma'aymin Aleihem, and how do they give them this warning? Ma'aymin Aleihem Bifnei Kail. They warn them and give them this strict eum in front of everyone who was present at that time in Beis Din. And they are notified of the strict sin of bearing false testimony, as mentioned in the pasuk that war and hunger, starvation, come as a result of false testimony. And furthermore, they tell him, and the terrible shame a person is in, both in the world to come, since they have done such a severe sin, And also, even in Olam Hazeh, even in this physical world, it is considered something shameful. There's a person that bought them off or encouraged them to testify in such a way knows that they are false witnesses. And therefore, to say such a thing is also a tremendously shameful thing, even in Olam Hazeh. And after giving him this warning, Ba'afakach, afterwards, Maitzinas Kol Adam Lachutz, everyone is taken out of the bezdin, out of the courtroom. And they leave only the oldest or the most respected of the witnesses. Or as some versions have it, and they tell him, or the head judge tells him, tell us, how is it that you know that this person owes the other one money? If the witness answers that he told me that he owes the money, or someone else told me that he owes money, consider not to have said anything. This is not considered valid testimony. Until he says that in our presence he admitted that he owes the money, that he made it very, very clear that he intended them to be Eidah Hegdah, that they were witnesses to his admission, and only then can he testify. After they have such a statement from him, they bring in a second witness and test them out the same way to determine, and they investigate to determine whether he has valid testimony. Once they find that the testimony of the two witnesses matches, then the judges speak together, give the various interpretations and the various elbows of the situation, and then finally decide the judgment for Gemar Din. Halacha Gimel. Amatni Eidim Lachavede. Someone that hides witnesses for a case against someone else. And he admitted to him in private, thinking that there was no one else around, he admitted owing money. And the witnesses see and hear that the one says to the other, that for sure I owe you so much money. But I am afraid that perhaps if I admit to you publicly, then immediately you're going to grab me to judgment tomorrow, and I don't have enough money to pay now, and therefore I'm really going to deny it. So what did this person do? He hid witnesses behind a fence or something of the sort to observe him making this admission. So you might think that since they witness the admission, they are allowed to testify, so the Rambam says, no, they're not. It is not true testimony unless he admits it in the presence of witnesses, unless he knows that they are testifying, that they are seeing, and that they are going to testify that he owes the money. It is not considered to be edus whatsoever. As the Rambam explains in Hilchos Tayin V'Nissen, that he could always say, Mashata Ani Baruch, that I was just fooling around with you, that since he doesn't know it's going to be taken against him, held against him in a court, in Benson, therefore he was not careful with what he said, and perhaps was just making some sort of offhand statement. Halacha Dalet. Echad Amayde B'Sne Eidim Va'omad Derech Haidah, anyone that admitted owing money in the presence of witnesses and said in a way of admission any of the following statements. That this person standing in front of us, in front of you two witnesses and myself, this person, Yeshlei Etzwei Kachpakach, I owe him a certain amount of money. Or he says, you should be my witnesses. Or Sha'omar Hayu Alai Eidim, that you should be witnesses on me. Bein Sha'omar Haleidah, regardless of whether the borrower says this, and even Bein Shalmer Hamalve Veshosak Aleve Derech Marmi LeDvarav, even if the lender himself said it, and the borrower is silent and obviously showing that he believes the words of the lender and that he accepts them, Hare Elu Eidim. In any of these cases, the witnesses are considered to be valid. Bein Tzarech Lemer, and we don't even need to mention that they would be valid witnesses in Kono Miyode, if there was a kinyan made, that a kinyan sued them by picking up a certain garment, which as we've explained many times is a valid act of acquisition. In such a case, should there be kinyan sued them between the malva and the leva, the lender and borrower? It's considered not only like an oral agreement, an oral loan, but it's considered like a written loan. Certainly it is valid, and these witnesses are not only allowed to testify, they're allowed to write a document. Oisha Amr Lehem, and certainly if it was said explicitly, Kisva Leishtad, write for me a document, Sheyesh Lozeh, Etz Likas Lekach, that I owe this person a certain amount of money. Or any of these similar matters, it is considered to be a valid admission, and thereafter the witness is testified based on his verbal admission. And should it be one of the last two cases, where there was a kinyan sudeh, an act of acquisition by raising this object, or that they were specifically told to write out a document, it has the additional strength of not only being an oral loan, but a written loan. Halacha hay. Talmid sha'omer le'rabbe, a student who was told by his teacher, yedeya atosh im nesim likol momen ha'olam eni meshakya. You, my student, know that even if they gave me all the money in the world, I would not lie. You certainly can believe me. And I am telling you, mona sheyesh li'etzel pleini, that there's $100 that this person owes me. However, v'yesh li'olav eidechot, all I have is one witness, he owes me the money. You know I'm telling the truth. Go and join with him in testimony. That me you can believe, and the other one is certainly a witness for it. So go and testify, be a second witness, and then I can get my money back. The law is, if he does join in with him and testifies, he is considered to be a false witness. As we mentioned at the beginning of this panic, that an eight sheker is considered to be a false witness if he testifies about anything he himself did not see with his own eyes, or at least hear regarding an admission, as we've been discussing the last few halachas. Furthermore, halacha vav, omarlei, if this person told his student, boy v'amay dima'ed, go and just stand next to this other witness, v'leitoid, you don't even have to testify, because in that case you would be transgressing this prohibition. Just stand there. What good is it going to do if you just stand there? That the borrower will see you there, and he'll become afraid. The Yalal Baita, he will think, Sha'atim Shnei Edim. And there are two witnesses against him. Once he sees this, he'll give up before he even gets the Bezdin. The Yedim Asmi. He'll admit himself he owes the money and pay. In other words, you just stand there, so you should scare him into admitting what he anyway owes. So too, Harezeh Asar Lameh, he is also forbidden to stand there, Ulehei Roi, Shehu Eit, and to make it appear as if he's a witness, Apo Pishayin Ameyit, even if he does not testify, it is still forbidden. Bazeh Kuyetze Banemar, regarding this and similar things, it says, Midvar Sheker Tirchop, that from false things you should keep a distance. And even though it is not saying anything falsely, you should nevertheless keep away, keep far away from any sort of falsehood, and not even make it appear that you're going to testify. Now the final halacha of the Perek Halacha Zayin. Someone that hires false witnesses to testify for someone, he cannot be allowed, he cannot be forced to pay by the human court. However, to be yetimid de shamayim, to satisfy the requirement between him and Hashem, he is required to pay. That since the people that testified themselves should have known not to do so, and he merely hired them to do so, then they had the choice of not listening to him and not testifying. He himself, the hirer, cannot be held responsible in a human court. But in the heavenly court he is. The Cain ate Echash HaKabesh Eduse, and so too, one witness who concealed, who held in his testimony, V'loi Heid, and he did not testify, so too, he cannot be punished in a human court. However, in the heavenly court, he can be punished. And therefore, he must pay back any money which he possibly could have affected with his testimony in order to be able to be the Shemayim. And even though he's only one witness, and one wonders what good his testimony would have done, nevertheless, as we learned previously in Hilchos Tein V'Nitzin, as well as many other places, one witness can cause someone to have to take an oath. That we need two witnesses to actually collect the money, but even one witness will make the person take a Shvur D'Araisa, an oath of the Torah. And since the person will possibly be frightened by this prospect, and rather admit and repay the money than take the oath, even this one person, this one witness, also indirectly caused a loss of money. And although it is not direct enough to be considered a cause that he should have to pay in the human court, in the heavenly court, he is nevertheless responsible and must pay. Thank you for tuning in to Rambam on the Line, a project of Sikhas in English. For more information, or to sponsor one of the program, contact Sikhas in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us tomorrow for Perek Shmeina Asar.